Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Once again, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, this is Saturday night, April the 14th, 2018. Well, as we always do, I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please get your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to be bringing forth another word of God, another word from the Lord on tonight. Before that, he's going to share with us another inspirational poem. But before we go into that, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please go into prayer with me at this time. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We come once again to say thank you for who you are. We come to give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless your name on tonight, Heavenly Father, because you're worthy of our praise. No matter what we're going through, no matter what it looks like, you are worthy to be praised. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, again, for who you are. We thank you for this another day that you have made and allowed each one of us to see. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come asking that you would touch the hearts and the minds of those that may be tuning in tonight that do not know your Son, Jesus Christ, who have not accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. It's our hope and prayer and desire that something will be said on tonight. It will prick their hearts to the point that they will open their mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into their hearts, to forgive them of their sins and transgressions, and to save them in his name. And once they're saved, they will come to know and fulfill their God purposes in the earth for your glory is our prayer for them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come also lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. And we also lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight. Comfort and strengthen them. Heavenly Father, let them remember and know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy toward each one of us on tonight. We just pray on tonight that you are moved by your spirit through your word, through Deacon Marvin Cox. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive us, not only myself and Deacon Marvin Cox, but every listener. Forgive us and all those that are being doers of your word without hidden motives or agendas. Around the world, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that everything that we do for you, Heavenly Father, will not be in vain. It will be fulfilled for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come continually lifting up our president and not only him, but world leaders everywhere, Heavenly Father, that you would touch their hearts, that they would come in agreement to do what's right for all people all around the world, that you would be glorified through them. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this worldwide platform. We don't take it lightly or the listeners for lightly. We thank you for each listener on tonight. And our prayer is that you would grant them the desires of their hearts. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would move by your spirit over the airwaves on tonight. We thank you again for this worldwide platform. We thank you for the opportunity, for the privilege to be your servants, ambassadors, and servants in this world, in this last evil days that we seem to be looking at right now, and we don't seem to understand. But your word lets us know that these things are going to happen that we are experiencing now, and we are seeing the wars that are going on all around the world. All around the world, your word told us that there will be wars and rumors of wars, and we are living in those days right now. So we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we see or we're facing, we thank you that you are in total control at all times. No matter what man thinks, we know that you are in total control. So we ask that you will continue to have your way, continue to cover your people all over the land in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us. Continue to bless us individually, bless the works of our hands individually, and then as a corporate body of believers all over the land, that you will be glorified through each one of us, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are children in agreement with this prayer said amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, are you truly walking with God or the enemy of your flesh? Again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and this applies to all of us, me included, are you truly walking with God or the enemy of your flesh? I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. In the form of announcements, I have two announcements that I'd like to make right at this time. So if you are in the Michigan area, Indiana or Ohio area, and you have a pen and paper, you might want to sit down this announcement. I am so excited to announce to the worldwide listeners, I met a young man on today that is a photographer, and he is doing great work. And I like to promote our young people when we see that they're doing a great work. We are to encourage them. And if we can encourage them by promoting their business, that's what we are supposed to do, because we are not in this world by ourselves. We are in this together. So I'm excited to announce Brother Darren Clark. He is a photographer, professional photographer. If you have a need of a photographer for, regarding photos or videos, you can contact Brother Darren Clark. And his email address would be idarren@clark.gmail.com. And he has a website, which is www.idarrenclark.com. Or you can reach him at area code 313-405-3445. Again, I like to support our young people when they're doing great work. And that's what we all should be doing. When we see young people that are trying to be positive role models and trying to do great work, because they could be doing other things. But God has blessed this young man, and we want to help promote him and his business so that he can go even further and can continue to lift up the name of Jesus and continue to do great work in the area of photography and videos. So if you have need of a photographer or someone to videotape your event, please give Darren Clark a call. Again, his number is 313, area code 405-3455. Or you can go to his website, which is www.idarrenclark.com. Or his email is idarrenclark@gmail.com. My other announcement is I am so excited to have been able to participate and witness the inauguration of Pastor Kenneth E. Harris of the Ecumenical Theological Seminary, which took place this morning here in Detroit, Michigan. And he is now the sixth president of that seminary. It was a great event. And also, Brother Darren Clark, he was the photographer for this great event. So we want to congratulate Dr. Kenneth E. Harris. He is also the pastor of Detroit Bible Tabernacle in Detroit, Michigan, on Oakman Boulevard. That's on the west side of Detroit. So I was able to witness his official inauguration, which took place on this morning at Ecumenical Theological Seminary. So he is now the sixth president of that seminary. So we want to say congratulations to him, to his family, and we also want to keep him lifted up in prayer that God will continue to do great things through him and through the works of his hands and through that seminary and all those that are connected to him that are being a blessing to the world and to the body of Christ. So I just want to say to him personally, congratulations, Dr. Kenneth E. Harris, for a job well done, and we know that you're going to do greater things as the Lord continue to move you forward in this work here on earth that will upbuild him in the kingdom on earth and his name in glory. So we just thank God for what he's doing through the life of Dr. Kenneth E. Harris, pastor of Detroit Baptist Tabernacle Church, which is located on Oakman Boulevard on the west side of Detroit. Well, those are my announcements on today. I do pray that you, again, have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready, because right after this music break, we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marlon Cox. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem, as he always does, and then he's going to go right into the Word on tonight. So I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marlon Cox as he gets ready to deliver God's Word on tonight. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Enjoy the music break. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. For those who are words of encouragement in the song for tonight, for the listeners on tonight, no matter what we see that's going on or around the world, know that we still, our aim should be for higher ground. Again, we must verbalize and we must know that God is still in control. No matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we think or what we feel, we must remember and know that God is in control at all times. So that's why we want to continue to bless the Lord at all times, knowing he have us in the palm of his hands. No matter how the enemy tried to throw his fiery darts, God has the last word over his children. So we want to continue to lift up our president and the world leaders, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. We want to continue to lift them up as a corporate body of believers, because the prayers of the righteous still avail much. So the Lord hears our prayers when we come in total agreement, especially regarding our cases such as what we're dealing with now regarding our president and world leaders all over the land, because the enemy is still out of control and he is doing everything that he is that he thinks he's bad enough to do. But we know that he has limited power. God has all power, even over the enemy. So we just want to continue to lift up our president and world leaders that they would do what's right for all people all over the land, that God would be glorified through them, is our prayer. So right now, we're going to get ready to turn the mic over to Deacon Marvin Cox as he gets ready to share with us another inspirational poem. And then he's going to go directly into the Word. So I do pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he gets ready to deliver God's Word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I'll now yield the mic to you to deliver God's Word. Praise the Lord, Deacon Marvin Cox. I don't know what happened. If you could bear with me, I'm going to do another music break. We have an interruption here, but we know that's how the enemy works. But while we're waiting on Deacon Marvin Cox, I'm going to go into another music break while we're waiting on Deacon Marvin Cox, because we know that the prayers of the righteous still avails much, and we are to be praying one for another. Enjoy this music break while we get Deacon Marvin Cox back on the line.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. Pray, pray for me.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We're back again. Thank God we have Deacon Marvin Cox back on the line. We always know that the enemy always try to interrupt and try to block. He can block some things, but he can't stop it. So I thank God for that. So we now have Deacon Marvin Cox back on the line, and he's getting ready now to share with us another inspirational poem, and then it's going to go directly into the Word of God on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Well, we all know a familiar phrase that the devil is a liar. And I just thank God once again for this opportunity to bring forth his word. Now, due to the delay, I'm going to just go right into the poem. It's self-explanatory. Sometimes we allow people and we allow things to come into our home that should not be in there, and they wreak havoc upon our home. And tonight's poem is just simply called An Unwelcome Guest. Some things that we should turn away from our door, but some things come in that we're not too familiar with, and next thing we noticed and took over. But the poem is An Unwelcome Guest. Worry came to visit me just the other day. When he came, he chased my faith and my good health away. He brought along some relatives. They were almost too numerous to mention. The first one I met was his son, hypertension. Now, hypertension was a fugitive on the run from God's law, the most silent and deadliest killer that you ever saw. He said, "Your nerves and your faith, I come here to test, but that's just the rudeness of an unwelcome guest." Hypertension said, "I didn't travel alone. There is no need to complain. I brought my wife. My wife travels with me. Her name is Migraine." Now, Migraine was a drummer. She pounded all night. She pounded so much, I became sensitive to the light. Now, hypertension and Migraine will bring you to your knees. The next visitors come with their offspring, kidney, and heart disease. The next unwelcome guest came all dressed up in a tux, that old belly aching nuisance, acid reflux. He said, "Our whole family is here. And we ain't no joke. Will somebody open up the door for our granddaddy, the stroke?" You might protest. You may have even resisted. But if a stroke comes to visit you, you will surely be twisted. These ailments came, and they came in rapid succession. The next visit to come was deep depression. I went to my doctor. He said, "I need to relax." Then he wrote me a prescription for some Xanax. Now, Xanax turned into a gorilla who rolled my back. I thought I was having a heart attack. Now, think about worry that seems so strange, that we worry about things that only God can change. Because worry is not that bad, if you were to be fair, if you take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. He will heal your heart and comfort your soul. We stop worrying and stressing about things that we can't control. He will straighten out a wayward spouse or bring a lost child back if only we allow him to pick up our slack. So the next time worry visits, tell him that he can't stay. A good attitude is the only thing that can chase his stressful butt away. Amen. Now that is the those that are really concerned about things that seem like things in your life is going out of control. God says that it's no benefit for us to worry. And he gave me the words to give to you about worry. Now, tonight's lesson, I'm going to immediately go into it because of the delay that we had. Tonight's lesson, I'll be coming to you from the book of Acts, the 19th chapter, verses 11 through 20. And my thought is coming out of, well, it's pertaining to the whole, those said verses. And it reads, I'm reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. So I always say that your publication might be a little bit different, but they basically are saying the same thing. And it reads, "And God wrought special miracles in the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in which the evil spirit leaped out on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all, the Jews and the Greeks also, dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord was magnified. And many days that believed, many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found a 50,000 piece of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Now our lesson and our thought is coming from the 13th verse. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. Now, our lesson and our topic for tonight is coming out of that sad verse, and the lesson is knowing somebody that knows Jesus is not enough. Now, we know at the beginning of the scripture reading, the word says that God gave Paul the ability. He wrought Paul with special miracles. So this was specifically for Paul to do. But during that time, they had what is known that it was a Jewish custom. It was called invocation, whereas those that were familiar with God would be able to call out demons, because the Lord had promised us that we would be able to do greater works than what he did. So those that truly believed on the name of God was able to go out. But see, we got to look at these sons of Sceva. It said that they were vagabond Jews. And we know that vagabonds are sometimes homeless. They're sometimes drifters. They sometimes don't have a place to go. They, you know, are gypsies. But don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with these types of people, because regardless of what your station is in life, you could be a gypsy and love the Lord. You could be a vagabond and love the Lord. You could be homeless and you could love the Lord. So I'm not talking down or trying to put down any type of person that has fell on hard times. I'm just saying that they were nomads. They were travelers. They were never in the same place for too long. Traveler like that person picks up different trades so that he'll be able to survive on his skill or their skill until they get to the next place. Every place they go, I mean, if you notice, like in Michigan, as well as Florida and a lot of our agricultural states, they have migrant workers, you know, people who come from, you know, Latin America, and they come up during the harvest season, and what they do, they pick the apples. They pick and they toil the land because it's a use for them in doing that. So they have a special skill that the local population does not have. But immediately, and so they were sons, it says, of a high priest. So a high priest, we know he had a special place in the hierarchy of God. We know that a high priest is familiar with God. We know that a high priest follows the rules and the regulations of God. And so these brethren, they were basically making a living out of casting out demons and doing things that would benefit them. But we got one problem here. Knowing somebody that knows Jesus is not good enough. It's not going to avail you anything. So we're talking about tonight, we're talking about a personal relationship. We're talking about a relationship that we must build with God. Because, see, this demon, before he sprung into action on these brothers, he said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? And so it says, not the demon, but it says that the man. So they aggravated the man who was housing the demon, and the man overtook these brothers. The man overtook them to the point where he beat them up and chased them out of the house half naked. Now, you figure almost in any fight that if you got 7-1 odds in that fight, that the 7 is more than likely to come out victorious. That 7 is likely to prevail. But see, if you don't know the power of God, if you don't know the strength of God, if you don't know God, then it's hard to do what it is that he told you to do. Why? Because you're lacking the power. Now, over here in John, the first chapter, the 12th verse, God's word is letting each and every last one of us know that those that believe in him, say he gave them power to become the sons of God. So sometimes, see, knowledge without power is nothing. You got to have that power in order to do what it is that God will have us to do. So these brothers, so it's time for each and every last one of us. Who are we? Too self-reliant upon our preachers, too reliant upon our people of God. Why? Because there have been several times when we won't even pray for ourselves sometimes because we rely on that preacher. Because why? What we say, Pastor, you know, I'm having some difficulties in my home. And I know we're confident that our pastor could get a prayer through. We're confident that he can make that connection with the Lord. But see, if I don't have no relationship with God, we're going to always use that pastor as a shield. We're going to always go to that pastor instead of going to the one, because, see, we might have, you know, that pastor may have had a sinful night. He might not be in a position to get that prayer through because God says that his spirit would not dwell with men at all time. But it's time for each and every last one of us to establish that relationship with God. I mean, God will cover those people that don't know him, who are up under the jurisdiction of those that do know him. For instance, if a saved man married an unsaved woman, God will cover her until she comes to the knowledge of serving the true and living God. But it's going to take some effort on her part in order to establish that relationship. See, relationship takes effort. You got to put effort into getting to know somebody. You have to make sacrifices. You got to give up some things that you hold near and dear to your heart. We're talking about the son, okay, as in the seven sons of Sceva. We're talking about the sons of a preacher man. Talking about the daughters of a preacher man. By this being an individual journey, regardless of what you do, regardless of what anybody do, we held accountable for the deeds that is done in our particular body. I don't care how holy my daddy is. I don't care how holy my mother was. I don't care how holy my grandfather was. If I don't reach out and make that connection, make that spiritual connection with God, it fails me nothing to say that I'm a child of God. If I don't establish that relationship, and see, if you know somebody that know Jesus, it's no benefit to you. It might be benefit because quite naturally when the Lord bless somebody and you're in their midst, they're going. Some of their blessings are going to trickle down to you. When blessings come into your household, you're going to be the recipient of that blessing. Just like the man with the two sons, the Lord blessed him, so his sons became recipients of those blessings. Job, his family became recipients of his work and his labor. But we must first establish that relationship with God ourselves. It matters not who you know, because some people are, and they do it all the time, they are notorious name droppers. They will use somebody's name to gain access to something. Yeah, well, I know this individual. Yeah, I was with this individual the other day, and just the promise or just the thought of knowing somebody who has a powerful following, sometimes it gives us access to things, but do we truly know them? But it's not okay just to know that person. We got to know that person that they know, because that is the only one that preacher can point me. He can point you in the right direction. He could give me instructions on how to work out my soul salvation. But the Son of God is the only one that's going to stand before the judgment seat of God and plead my case for me. Because that preacher might have some things in his life that he needs to take care of before he go before God. So if the righteous just scarcely make it in, what say ye about the unrighteous? So my brothers and my sisters, I'm imploring you this evening, get to know that individual that others know. Get to know him on a personal level. Now is not the time to hold back. And believe it or not, you will give up less than you ever thought that you had to give up. If you're comical, you won't lose that comical personality. If you're aggressive, you won't lose that aggressive personality. Look at Peter. He didn't lose that personality. He didn't lose that aggressive personality where he would cut somebody out, or he would cut them, or he would want to go fight them. He did not lose that. But see, what we do, we learn how to control those things. God does not take away your personality. But what he does is that he will allow you to use that personality. To use, as Brother Brown would say, use what you got as an asset to his kingdom and not a liability. If you think about Brother Paul, even Brother Paul, he was one of the chief persecutors of the church. And all he had to do was get that pen in hand and write a letter. And I'm just speculating here. But that nobody wanted Paul to write a letter against them. So what they did, they would turn, this is just speculation, they would turn their little vineyards, or they turned their churches, you know, they would change the name on it when Paul was coming to town. You know, there might be the tabernacle for the holy. But to keep Paul from writing a letter against them, they've turned it into Bill's hamburger stand. So I'm just saying that whatever it is, your personality is, he was a persecutor. And so on the Damascus Road, when the scales were taken off his eyes and he began to use all of that persecution of the church, he started using it to be an asset to the kingdom of God. And that was one of the biggest fears that most people that I know that have united themselves with Christ, they thought that somehow or another, by being born again into the church, that they would lose themselves. But I got good news. I'm bringing you good news today. It will help you find yourself. It will help you find that charitable side. It will help you find that kind, sweet, compassionate side, that thoughtful side, that considerate side. It will help you to eliminate that mean streak that you got. And sometimes we use that mean streak as a defense mechanism. But I take sweet and kind over mean and nasty any day. He would use all of those things that people would frown down upon for his good. He would use your ability to draw people together, because he needs people that know how to draw people together. He needs people that know how to organize. He needs people that know how to counsel. He needs people that are leaders, not leaders of him, but that can lead other people to him. You know how we have certain relatives, and it's always an aunt or uncle in the family where just about everybody congregate over to their house. And that individual, even our children, might not even wash a dish in our home, but they go over to that aunt's or that uncle's house and they'll clean up the whole house. They'll wash the dishes, they'll square up the floors. They'll do these things. Why? Because of their leadership qualities. And we as parents, we shouldn't get angry at our brothers, our sisters. We should be able that somebody, even preachers sometimes, get angry when members of their congregation go someplace and they respond in such a way, and preachers sit on the head, well, they don't respond like that. But just be glad that somebody is able to get to them. Be glad that somebody is able to get to your son or your daughter and reason with them. Don't use it as an affront against you, because I know I've been married for quite a few years, and sometimes it seems, I'm not saying that it's true, but sometimes it seems that the conversation that I have with my wife, it seems like they don't have no impact. But then somebody else can come, and I know preachers can identify this, or preachers could preach about something for years and years and years, and the congregation is sitting on their hands. But then a visiting minister come and they tell the church with the same message. And it's just like the individual is hearing it for the first time. But sometimes repetition can turn into boredom. But as long as you receive that which God has given to you. So this is why it's very important that we build and that we establish this personal relationship. Just knowing somebody that knows Jesus is not going to do me any good. I mean, Brother Brown is a holy man of God, but I got to have some curiosity about this Jesus fella, that he diligently recruit people, that he go out and he tell them, hey, I need you to share a word with the worldwide listeners. There's got to be something, some curiosity that makes him, I mean, you know, he never tells you about his difficulties, but, you know, he has a few health issues. But he esteems other people higher than himself. But just me knowing him, hey, he's a great friend, he's a great brother. But I need to take that one step further. listening to somebody, because see, we rely sometimes on people to do for us what we need to do for ourselves. God's word says, study to show yourself approved. I mean, if there's a skepticism about what's going on, about what's being said tonight, I encourage you to go behind what I'm saying and ask the Lord, is that what it's saying, or am I just blowing my bad breath everywhere? So this is an invitation to know that individual that someone else know, but know them for yourself. It's just like you go to tell someone, hey, I'm going to tell your dad on you, or you call somebody else's daddy, daddy. It don't have the same impact. But see, once you know and you realize and you'd have been taught and you've been pointed in the right direction, they took that time with you to show you, to nurture you, to bring you along slowly, then you know. As I say over there in Luke, the first chapter, when it said in the beginning was the word was God, and it goes down, and then it said those that believe on him, he gave he them power to become the sons of God. And God told us, the Lord told us in Matthew that, you know, that he's with us always. So there's no need in calling his name in vain. Over in Exodus, the Ten Commandments, it tells us we're not supposed to speak the name of the Lord in vain, because the Lord would not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain. What do I mean by that? Okay, if I'm out here trying to extort somebody, if I'm out here trying to flim-flam or bamboozle somebody, and I'm using, because, see, it's just something about the name of Jesus. You could walk into a place and say Jesus, and those that know him, they're going to light up. They're going to want to know who this bringing that good word here. But some of us, we become extorters. And extortion is a big thing now. Because why? We put our faith, we put our trust in man. And it's nothing wrong with that. But we got to know him for ourselves. I mean, every day you can look on the news and you can see people that was in trustworthy positions violating the law of the oath that they took. But I'm just saying, if you know him for yourself, don't know the one that know him, get to know him, get to know the Lord. He will bring about that joy that you seek. He'll bring about that peace that seems so elusive unto you. It's time for us to quit relying upon, I mean, you know, that pastor is there for a reason. And he's there to point us in the right direction of God. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if he's following Christ, then I need to follow him. But then we got people who are followers of followers of Christ. Now, that's not going to set too well. That's not going to set too well with God. Because there will come a time when we leave our parents' home, when we're able to stand on our own, when we have that ability to be strong enough to decipher what's wrong and what's right, when we become a little bit more reliant on God, we become a little bit more dependent independent instead of dependent. But see, all of these things are a need be. It's time for us to establish that personal relationship. I'm not saying that nobody does it. But if you take inventory in our life, in your life, we'll find out that some things we have turned over into the hands of man. Now, these brothers who tried to exorcise this demon, they were not equipped to cast him out and they had to pay some severe consequences. Now, over in Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse, when the demons was cast out, and they was asking the Lord, why are you tormenting us? You know, why are you bothering us? You know, why don't you leave us alone? So they asked for permission to go into the swine, and then they ran down, violated down the hill into the water. So this is what I'm saying. When you might be lucky enough or blessed enough to cast out that demon, but as soon as that demon comes out, he got to have some place to go. That's why when prayer is being implemented, it's important, it's vitally important that we stay focused on Jesus. Because if you ever seen commercials about roaches, as soon as you uncover where they're hiding at, do you see they scatter into 1,000 places? They got to have some place to go. And if it happened to be in your shoe, and your shoe is unprotected, that's where they're going to go. I'm just saying that demon needs a place to go, because he want to tear that body asunder that he's occupying. So my brothers and my sisters, it behooves us to get to know the Lord on a personal level. Because knowing somebody that knows Jesus, it'll benefit you for a minute until you want to know him yourself. But you can't get in on your daddy's ticket. You can't get in on your mama's ticket. You can't get in on your cousin's ticket. I don't care how holy the pastor is, and I don't care if you go to lunch with him on Wednesday or not. That's not going to be your ticket to wherever it is that you need to be. It's time to establish that personal relationship with God to the extent that when we pray, and as I say, it's an invocation, we pray, we are requesting that God does a certain thing for us. But I'm just telling you, my brothers and my sisters, it's time for us to protect ourselves. Because many prayers are going up. But see, God won't hear a sinner's prayer, but he will hear a prayer of repentance. He will hear a repentant prayer. So if we're truly sorrowful, and if we're doing something to extort God's people, say that we're not supposed to stand on the corner and bring about repetitious prayers. For to pray sincerely from the heart. Now, these brothers, these vagabonds, Jews, sons of Sceva, they're opening up an enterprise in which, because Paul was blessed with those, they say, who was wrought with those miracles, that he could use aprons and handkerchiefs and so forth and on to heal people. But the thing about that is that once the people found out about the sons of Sceva, it helped them out so much, they said, you know what, I'm not going to perpetrate no longer. I'm just paraphrasing here. Said they bought all their books and all their things, and the fame of that particular thing went out worldwide. So it's a decree right now being brought forth to get to know the Lord for yourself, because knowing those that know him, it's time for us to step forward and establish our own personal relationship with him. Now is not the time for us to faint or to fall back. So I thank you for these few minutes that you allowed me to come into your homes, your offices, or whatever, and bring you this word. And I pray that it reached its intended target, which is your heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. I pray, too, that this word has reached someone's heart, and they would get to the point that they would open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when they're coming to their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know their God purpose. They will walk in it, and they will live in it and fulfill their God purpose in the earth. So we thank God for you, Deacon Margaret Cuthbert, tonight. We thank you for sharing the inspiration of poem and also for sharing another awesome word of God on tonight. And that is our prayer that the people's heart will open enough to receive the word on tonight, that they can do what's right and come to know Jesus Christ for themselves as their personal Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Their work on earth will be in vain, that God will be glorified, that their lives and their living was not in vain because they did not know Jesus for themselves. So it's important, just like Deacon Marvin Cox said, your mother may know Jesus, your mother may be saved, your father, your pastor may be saved, your cousin, they may be saved in Jesus' name. That's very fine. But what about you? You need to be saved in Jesus' name as well. Because if you're not, remember that one day we all want to stand before God and give an account for every good deed done in our bodies, the good and the bad. And so when we stand before God, you don't want to hear God say, until you depart from me, you work with iniquity. When you had an opportunity, when you heard the word, when you was living on earth, when the blood was running warm in your veins, you had a chance to choose my son Jesus. You chose not to. So you don't want that to be said about you in the day when we stand before God. You want to hear God say unto you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. And I'm sure that's what every listener on tonight wants to hear when God say to us, when we stand before him in the day of judgment, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You fought the good fight. You kept the faith, and you finished your course. So that's what we want to hear. Because you did that, you was a asset to the kingdom of God. You was not a liability. So that's what it's all about. We want to continuously be assets to the kingdom of God in every phase of our lives. We don't ever want to be a liability to the kingdom of God or to God himself. So we thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight for another powerful word that was delivered on tonight. So I pray that you were blessed by it. So we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. And I ask our listeners to please continue to share the good news about this worldwide ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well. And once again, I do thank you, the listeners, each and every last one of you. I thank you. I never met you or never seen you, but God knows who you are. And he knows what you need, and he promised he will give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes he gives us what we want if we live right. So I thank God for you, each listener. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. Know that you're always in my prayers. Again, I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. So it's when I call out the listeners, that continue to bless the listeners, Lord, that you have listening into this worldwide platform. He knows exactly who you are, and he knows exactly where you are, and he knows exactly what you stand in need of. So continue to tune in and be blessed through this worldwide ministry. I'm asking our listeners, if you'll please go out and pray with me as we close out tonight's program. But before I do that, I'd like to say once again, congratulations to Pastor Dr. Kenneth E. Harris on his inauguration. Today he's the sixth president out of all the 60 years. He's now the sixth president of the Ecumenical Theological Seminary located here in Detroit, Michigan. So we want to continue to keep him in prayer and his family and all those that work up under his ministry, that God will be glorified through them. It's our prayer for them. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to say thank you for who you are. We praise you for your mercy and your grace towards each one of us in spite of ourselves. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're in total control at all times, no matter what looks right. We thank you that you are in total control. We thank you that you are not like man. You search your heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us when we don't deserve to be blessed. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for keeping us and making ways of escape for us when we find ourselves in situations that we should not be in the first place. You even make ways of escape for your children. So we just thank you. We bless your name on tonight. It's our prayer on tonight, Heavenly Father, that on tomorrow, all over the land, every door that's going to be open in your son Jesus' name, is our prayer right now that you are moved by your spirit through each vessel that's going to stand forth and bring your word. And I pray, and we pray together, Heavenly Father, tonight collectively, that as a corporate body of believers, that your word will go forth with power on tomorrow, that many souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that God will try to be built up and strengthened and edified through your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless your people as only you can, Heavenly Father. Have your way. Moved by your spirit through each one of us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. For your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Well, know that God loves you. I love you too. Until the next time, continue to be blessed with the Lord. Good night.
Good night.